If you'll stand with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, very common portion of scripture. I know almost everybody in here will know this. And the best part is we all know it, so it'll be easy. No one has to think about it. We're going to start in verse 1, and we'll say a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we come before you, Lord, we pray your power is upon this place, Lord, that it's your words that flow tonight, Lord, and not mine. Mine are just not worthy to even come close to the thoughts that you have, Lord. I pray that you're with us tonight. Let hearts be open and softened, Lord. Let your word flow, Lord, and let we learn just something that you would have us to learn today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. So here we have Paul talking about running a race. And I've heard this portion of scripture used many different times on many different things. And one of the things that really just kind of made me think about it is, for those of you who don't know, I'm really big into fitness. Like I work out every day as much as I can, partly because my job requires it. And partly because, well, my family has a history of health issues, and the more I keep myself fit, maybe I won't run the risk of doing that. And then I started thinking about it as I was getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to eat my protein, to take my amino acids, to do my pre-workout ritual that takes me an hour to do just before I go to the gym. I'm like, I didn't pray this morning. Well, let me take 5 minutes and pray. And then it hit me. It just hit me like a rock. And God's like, hey, why are you willing to take an hour to prep yourself to go to the gym, but you're only going to give me 5 minutes to prep yourself for a 24-hour day when you're supposed to be living for me? And it hit me. And then this verse just popped in my head, run the race that is set before us. So I just recently got back from a 4-day weekend. I went down to Myrtle Beach and I ran a half marathon. So one of the things I thought about running a race and all the things that I had to do for this 13.1 miles, I was like, I did all these things. It's like, what if I applied that to my Christian life? The amount of effort I put into that for over 6 weeks to just get ready to run 13 miles, what if I applied that to my Christian life every day? And I came up with four basic points that I'm going to give to you in the beginning, and we'll expound upon them here in a second. It started with planning. It started with planning, deciding what race I was going to run, right? Then it turned into preparation. You got to train for it. Then it came to endurance. When you're actually there on race day, what's going to happen? And then finally, the reward at the end. And we're going to see going through various portions of scripture how this is going to be expounded upon. And God lays it out for us perfectly in his word, more poetically than I could ever say how perfectly we're to run our race. Paul is the perfect example of how to run a race. Paul was originally Saul, who was killing Christians. Boy, if there's a race I could follow, Paul's is a good one. Not the killing Christians part, when he becomes Paul. And I'll get to that in a second. All right. So here's Paul saying, I have run this race. God has told me exactly what I need to do, and I've done it. And then he says in verse 2, and he keeps on going on, if you look back at scripture, it says, looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the man of God. Now, this set down at the right hand of the man of God is, once again, he's talking to the unsaved Jewish people. When you think about it, when you look at Old Testament Hebrew time periods during the offerings, the Pharisees would stand until all the offerings were completed, and then he would sit at the end. So here's the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice for our sin, sitting at the right hand of God, saying there's no more required. The work is done. Jesus himself said, it is finished. So he's sitting at the right hand of God. What a beautiful portion, just those two verses. Beautiful explanation of endurance and being able to sit here and just plan out what God has, everything that God has for us, from basically start to finish, starting with salvation and ending with our reward in heaven. So when you sit here and you think about all these things we have to do on a daily basis, this planning thing, I happen to use working out as a common philosophy, but you know, the ladies in the audience will tell you, especially the ones that have kids, you ask my wife with two twin girls and a 3-year-old boy going out to the store is like a circus. Like you've got your field tack bag ready to go. You've got emergency clothes, everything ready to go. And you're like, seriously, it is a full-fledged, like, frontal assault blitzkrieg to try and go to just the grocery store. You know, once again, why am I put that much effort into that? Where is that with my Christian walk? Right? That's the common question we're going to keep coming back to when you think about this. If I'm willing to go through all this effort for everything I do on a daily basis, where am I using that in my Christian walk? Okay? The part that really hit me was, so I've done two of them now. Two half marathons. I keep getting sidetracked. I'm sorry. I'll try and stay on topic. I've done two half marathons. My very first one did not go so well. Let's just leave it at that. About mile 10, I cramped, my whole lower body cramped up. I'm doing one of these numbers. I'm like, oh, I'm going to finish, right? Why? Well, I didn't prepare properly. I did not set myself up for success by planning and preparing and making sure that I was ready to go for that race, right? Second one went a whole lot better. Shaved 30 minutes off my time. I'm very proud of that. But it's just a race in the long run, right? And once again, all those thoughts kept stirring. So very first point, we'll go ahead and dive right into it. Planning, right? You have to decide what you're going to do, right? I look at myself in the mirror and I go, okay, funny you mentioned that this morning, Brother Roy. I need to work out. I got to lose some weight, right? I'm not within the standards that I need for the military service. I've got to lose some weight. So I have to plan. What am I going to do? Okay, I don't know. Let's say I don't know. Not how many people in here are professional bodybuilders? Exactly. Right? Working out with those guys, it's amazing to see what they go through in a day. Like, they actually have calculated out to the grams the amount of proteins they have to consume in a day. And it's like a cow. Like, literally a cow. It's insane. Right? So planning. So where does this planning come from? Right? If we're going to go on a vacation, it's planned. I'm going to go here. This is where I'm going to stop. Like I said, with my family, especially if I'm going to go out to the store or go out shopping for the day, there's a plan. This is where we're going to eat lunch. Here's all the extra clothes. I have extra bottles. I have extra food. I have snacks. I have games. I have everything I need to make sure my kids don't act like fools inside the store. It's planned, right? What about my walk with Christ? Where's that plan? Ladies and gentlemen, it's written. I've given you teachers, pastors, preachers, prophets. You could just be a soul winner. There's your plan. Amen. You could be a Sunday school teacher. There's your plan. But how do you know? How do you know? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that he not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. I don't go start up a reactor at work without a plan. And I definitely don't do it if I don't know what I'm doing and my guys haven't studied the procedures. Seems like a big deal, right? Why would I step out soul winning if my heart's not prepared and planned?
Amen.
Right? Everything that we do on a daily basis, we plan, we prepare, we're ready to go for it. We've got everything we want to do. We know exactly. But I'm telling you, and please understand that I'm preaching to myself, guys. I'm preaching to myself. Why do I spend 5 minutes praying before I read my Bible in the morning? That's all I give it to. I plan all this stuff throughout a day with a bunch of Navy sailors, but yet I don't give my God who saved my soul enough time. Right, that falls on me. If you go to 1 Timothy, go back a couple of books, go to 1 Timothy 5, 13 through 16, you can come if you want. It says right here in the scripture, it says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle. I don't think I have the right thing. Sorry, I think I have the wrong. I think it's 2 Timothy. Good, 2 Timothy 5. There's an answer. Ah, no. Oh, sorry, I had the wrong. Now the wrong portion of scripture there, excuse me. But it was the concept of it was the... Ah, here we go, I'm sorry. It's 4, 1 Timothy 4. Starting verse 13, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So here's Paul trying to kind of change the way the Hebrew people at the time are looking at Christ as a whole and the doctrine that was given to them in the Old Testament. He's sitting here saying, hey, you got to meditate on these things, right? All he's saying is pray. You have to pray upon them, right? And then 2 Timothy is a wonderful illustration of exactly how we can really discern what God has in store for us, what the will of God is, right? Study. Study God's Word. It requires both of them. I've been talking to the teens about this for, 5 weeks now? At least? About you've got to study and pray, otherwise you'll never know what God has in store for you. His will not be revealed to you unless you talk to Him. You have to. I mean, think about a marriage. Like I was mentioning this today. I'm married to my wife for 10 years. Let's say the only thing I ever said to my wife in those 10 years was, where's my coffee? Good morning. Good night. How's that relationship going to be? My honey-do list would be real short, that's for sure. Or maybe real long, I don't know. Right? But that relationship can't function. I have a God that saved my soul. Why would I do that to Him? Where's that relationship at? He's not going to tell me what He needs from me unless I've got to ask Him. He's going to try and beat me over the head. Once again, I've referenced Paul. As Saul, he was persecuting Christians. And God comes up one day and says, I need you. Knocks him blind. Paul, without hesitation, changes. And he knows his path. And becomes one of the greatest missionaries that we can definitely read about in the Bible, for sure. He knows his path. He's run his race. Why? He spent time in Scripture, studying, preaching God's Word. Planning. We spend so much time focusing on all the little things in our life to make sure it goes perfectly, when the one thing we should be focusing on the most is our Savior that saved us. Give Him the time He deserves, and He'll tell you what you need, not what you want. There's a term we use in the Navy as a Navy chief. Give your guys what they need, not what they want. My guys come up and say, hey, chief, I really need today off because of this. And I go, no, you want today off. What I need you to do is do the job I told you to do. Well, that seems harsh, right? Well, no, I'm holding him accountable to what he's got to do. God holds us accountable to what we need to do. Amen. According to His Scripture, according to His Word. As a father chastiseth his children, right? Be not afraid of the chastisement. We should be held accountable for the same thing. The only way we're going to know is through planning and preparation. A.W. Tozer said, an honest man with an open Bible, pad, and pencil will find out what's wrong with him very quickly. Where do you think this message came from? Seriously. With an open Bible, and an open heart as well, to be susceptible to God's Word, to listen to what He has to say through gentle guiding and leading. Man, I was thinking about this the other day when I was kind of just fine-tuning this thing. I was like, and I'm reading through Deuteronomy and Numbers, and I'm in Leviticus now, and I'm thinking there, I'm like, man, what if God could talk to us the way He did the Old Testament? Hebrews that came out of Egypt. Like, boom, call him a fire. Oh, hey, God. What's up? Why are you doing this thing right now and you should be doing something else? Yeah, you got me. Okay. Man, it'd be great. We have it. Amen. It's right here. Here's our column of fire. It tells us exactly how we're supposed to be, exactly what we're supposed to do. Study. Study. Preparation piece. So second point, preparation. Planning's great. I can make some of the best plans in the entire planet. Ask my wife, because they work every time. Nope. That's actually not true. That's one of the things that I feel that God has gifted me with is I'm very good at planning, especially at when it comes to my field of work. I have to move 102 pieces around every single day to make sure they're all within 62 points of contact between 24 watches and cubes and checkouts and stuff like that. And I have to move these pieces around every single day. Right? So you would think planning is a great thing. I'm good at it. Yeah, no, I'm not. I mess it up all the time. But the preparation piece, in my opinion, is probably some of the most important stuff we can do, especially with our Christian walk, right? So you've made a decision. You've got your plan, right? Thinking outside, so I want to be able to bench press 400 pounds. I want to go run a full marathon. Now looking at our Christian life, I want to go be a soul winner and, you know, save 100, you know, give out 1,000 tracts every single day. You're just going to jump right into it, right? That's how it works. No, that's not how it works. Never once did I say, I'm going to sit down to this bench press and I'm going to go ahead and put 400 on there and just go to town on it. Never once did I say that. It took me a while to get there. Like, years to get there. Because you have to train your body. You have to break it down, build it back up, strengthen it, nourish it. Much like our Christian faith. We're going to fail. The point is to not get discouraged.
Amen.
There's always a start to everything we do. Whether it's working out and, you know, growing in our faith and serving a church, there's always a starting point, right? Pastor had mentioned it a couple weeks back. Start with just reading a verse a day. Maybe chapter a day. Maybe a little more than that. Maybe a chapter morning and night. Now you add prayer into it. And you slowly start to build it up as you start to build strength in your spiritual muscles. And they start to grow and expand. They can handle more weight. They can carry more of a load. And they're able to just withstand more and more and more. Till finally, you're starting to accomplish things and you see fruit in your spiritual walk. Much like when you lift. It takes at least 6 months to see a change in a muscle structure from lifting weights. At least 6 months. Right? You must be patient. You must be patient. That patient comes through prayer. Time. Don't get discouraged. Ephesians 6:15, right? He's talking about Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. You go through it. And your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? There's some reference Bibles that will go back and refer you back to 1 Samuel when Goliath is standing there talking about greaves of brass. His feet were shod with greaves of brass. So I was like, okay, why are those there? Those specific type of shoes were used to protect from sticks, traps, things like that to protect their feet. So then why does God use that? The preparation of the gospel, the preparation, specific word, of the gospel of peace. If our heart is prepared with the gospel of peace, no snare from this world or from the devil will pull us away from his path. We have to prepare. Our heart has to be right. It has to be fully invested into God's work. Otherwise, you start to stray. If our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it'll be less difficult to step on the traps of life. Brother Dave, to step on the wiles of the world that are out there, the things that want to pull you in because our flesh likes it. But our heart is prepared. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to run my race. I've got my greaves of brass on so the sticks can't get me of this world. I'm ready to go. Every piece of the whole armor of God has a specific purpose. And it's all about walking in God's light. All of it. And the only offensive weapon is it is what? The sword of the word of truth.
Amen.
How do you use your sword? You got to practice. You got to prepare. I'm not going to go step into a war without being trained, am I? Train yourself. Study. Prepare. The only way you're going to finish strong is if you have prepared. It's the only way it happens. There's some guys that they can will themselves through. That's impressive. But to really perform God's work the way he's intended it, you have to understand it fully and understand what your race is. Right? Are we going to get bogged down every now and then? Yep. It's going to happen. But once again, prepared with the gospel of peace, easy to overcome. Third point, this one's going to take the longest. Now it's race day, endurance. Endurance. You're starting your run. You're going. About mile two, you're like, why am I doing this? About mile six, you're like, that's not so bad. I could do this. Mile seven, eight, you're feeling pretty good. Mile 10, you're like, I'm never doing another one of these again. Mile 11, you're like, I'm cramping. I don't want to do this anymore. Endurance. Endurance specifically comes from a repetition over and over and over again to train your body to withstand a long duration burn. I've always been a weightlifter in my head as far as fitness goes. It's just one of my things. Till one day, out of a crazy whim, I decided to go running. Told myself I'd never do it again. Then I convinced myself that all running is a low weight, high rep leg day. That's all it is, right? Low weight, high rep leg day. That's what I convinced myself, so that way I can still call myself a weightlifter. But it took me at least, I want to say 3 years till I was ready to even try a race, right? Because I didn't have the endurance. My body kept wearing out. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't fueled right. I didn't plan properly. Once again, I didn't prepare by making sure everything was ready to go, right? If you go back to Hebrews chapter 12 again. It wasn't that far away, and I can't find it. Look in verses 6 and 7. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Great segue. So my son, right? Everyone was telling me this morning he was so cute. He was sitting in his pew. He had his music open. He was singing along with everybody. My son is a Sour Patch Kid, right? He's sour, then he's sweet, I promise you, right? What he puts in front of you guys is not how he is. Just take my word for it. Don't let those cheeks fool you, right? But what kind of, so this morning he wakes up and he's like, hi, mommy, hi, daddy. Like, hey, buddy, you ready to go to church? No! Excuse me? And he starts screaming. I'm just going to let that go, right? That starts the problem. Yes, sir. That's the problem. If I let that go, then that behavior is now okay. It's acceptable. My God doesn't do that to me. Amen. Why should I let my son do that? So I will tell you, I had to give him a spanking this morning. And I had a little talk with him. Pray a little bit. And he comes in here and he's this perfect angel. But the point is, we have to endure these kind of chastenings. We have to be able to withstand what we're doing wrong. We're not going to know unless we feel the pain. Be not concerned of the fiery trials that will try you. Amen, right? Once again in Job, right? For I know the way that I have gone, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That concept of trying is to remove all the, I'm losing the thought. Impurities. Who said impurities? Thank you, whoever it was. Move all the impurities from the metal that you're trying to do. Gold does not become pure gold unless you heat it up, hammer it, and filter out all those impurities. The same thing with steel. The same thing with iron. You have to purify it. Heat it up. Try it. Much like our walk. God tries us like in a furnace to make sure all our impurities are gone. We have to endure that. That's how we get better. That's how we last long. That's how we drive to finish the race strong. Because now we know where it's coming from. For the longest time, I was so guilty of this. And I'm ashamed to say it almost to this point. I had already been saved at this point, and I would sit here and I'd go through, and I was saved, but I wasn't walking right. I was backsliding. I'll tell you that right now. I was still doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. Okay, and anytime bad things would happen or instances that occurred in my life, they had to have come from God. Looking back on it now, the first thing I said, Brother Ed, was, "Why me? Why me, Brother Dave, Brother Renee? Why me? Why are you doing this to me?" Why are these guys getting all this good stuff, and why are you doing this to me? Then I had an epiphany. Why don't you ask me what you need to be doing? Ask me what you didn't do. Don't worry about what I'm doing to you. What should you be doing? You look at, when we look at children today, it was the reason why I kind of bring up my son. I had a conversation with someone at work, and he's like, and he's talking to me, and he's like, so my son can't, he's like, he does all these bad things, he doesn't listen, he throws tincher tantrums at the store, and I go, but what do you do to correct it? And he goes, oh, I just pull him aside and go, hey, you should behave. I'll get you some candy if you do good things. Yeah, see, exactly. Okay. Yeah, I'll be good. So that way when the candy's gone, I can act up again to get more candy, right? I was like, whoa, no, you're coming with me. We're leaving. I'll come back when you decide to behave. I don't need this right now. I'm not going to die if I don't have groceries. I may die if I don't have ice cream. But groceries, on the other hand, we're taking the ice cream with us. But no, we're going to leave the store, and I'm going to handle my son the way the Bible tells me to.
Amen.
This same guy was like, I don't understand how your son is so well behaved. I just told you.
Amen.
What is wrong with the youth today? I work in a field where I get older, and everybody I work with stays the same age. It's the worst thing ever. Someone's like, I'm sitting here talking about something that happened back when I was 8, and they're like, oh, I wasn't even born yet. I'm like, oh. But the common thing that I get out of these youth, the youth of today, even the 20-year-olds that I work with, is a lack of mental toughness. As soon as I get on them, hey, why did you do this? You were supposed to be here. You didn't show up. You owe me this time back. Oh, that's just not fair. I don't understand. Why? Because we didn't raise our child properly. God is describing us through our spiritual walk, how we're supposed to be raised, right? Now, no chastising for the present seem to be joyous. Yes, it does not feel good. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The Bible tells us exactly how we're supposed to do it. Why do we have a problem in our country today with the youth? Because we do not raise them the way God tells us to. Every time I have someone tell me how great my son is, I go, praise God. It's not me. I'm just following what God tells me to do in His Word. We have to endure the chastisement. That's why we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because we're going to step on those sticks, those traps. They're not going to feel great, but we'll still be able to recover and get back on our race, back on our path. I may be running my half marathon and have a leg cramp, but it'll go away. You have to endure, withstand. Because God's going to let His plan, God's plan is going to finish. God's plan is going to continue.
That's right.
If it's not through me, somebody will do it.
Amen.
Why not me?
Amen.
I have to be ready to endure. No matter what happens, I praise the Lord God above that I live in this country.
Amen.
Where I can step out of here and praise God's praises and not worry about getting hit with the rock.
That's right.
Amen.
Think about what our missionaries have to go through sometimes. They're in countries where even just the mention of Jesus Christ will get you stoned, get you hung. That's endurance. Take a look at all the apostles. Hung, beaten, jailed, crucified. All for Christ's glory. Endurance. Isaiah 53. If you turn there with me, please. Should have known we were going to go there. Such a beautiful, beautiful description of the endurance we should have. Verse 5. We all know it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He endured that beating because of me. My family wasn't even thought of yet, but he knew that he had to endure that beating for me. Who am I to deserve that? Why do I only give him 5 minutes? Surely, in verse 4 right above, surely he hath borne, carried, put upon his back, like the cross he carried up up the hill. Our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. You want to see endurance? Take a look at your Savior. Take a look at your apostles. The half marathon seems easy now. C.H. Spurgeon said, by endurance, the snail reached the ark. Anyone ever watched a snail? By endurance. Didn't quit. He made it. By endurance. I love how Pastor always uses the consider the ant phrase for the sluggard. I love that one. Consider the snail. Endurance. In 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, you don't have to turn there. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Be a soldier of Christ. I believe we got just about every military branch represented here tonight, right? I think just about, right? Now, a single one of us didn't have to endure hardship, difficulties through serving our country. Some of our brothers and sisters never made a home. Endurance, like a good soldier. The training that we have to endure, the training that our Marines have to go through, it's hard. The training for us as Christian soldiers, it's hard. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but we're not well liked anymore. They make fun of us. Endure. You have to endure. God knows what's going to happen. He knows the ending. That's the best part. I don't have to worry about that part of the plan. God has got it taken care of. I just got to deal with my part of it. I used this on the teens this morning. In the Napoleonic Wars, at the end of it, the Spanish and French fleet was overly decimated by Lord Admiral Nelson at the Battle of Trafalgar. Admiral Arleigh Burke later in 1943 made this statement. Admiral Lord Nelson did not have a great plan. He had a good plan where everybody knew their part and executed flawlessly. We have a perfect plan.
Amen.
Do we know our part? Are we executing? Gotta endure like a soldier. It's not gonna be easy. Finally, there's the reward, right? Think of the song, right? I'm satisfied with just a cottage below me, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the mansions are shining, I want a gold one that's silver-lined gold mansion. We have a reward. At the end of this half marathon, I'm chugging along and I look like a lumbering elephant, and they hand me this shiny little medal. I'm like, ooh, yay! I have a reward in heaven for finishing God's race that's beyond anything I can ever receive here.
Amen.
I've just got to finish. I've got to endure. Got to finish. Matthew 5, verses 10 and 12, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God's telling us it's coming. We just got to finish. Lay not your treasures up, or lay your treasures up in heaven, not on earth, which doth with rust and moth doth corrupt. Right? The portion of that being the corrupt part, meaning that decay, go away. Doesn't matter what stuff I have here, it will not last. Period. It won't. Everlasting gobstoppers? Nope, they end. Infinite jawbreakers? I've gotten through those. They lie. But my treasures in heaven are for eternal. My salvation is eternal. That's the real reward. All the other stuff in heaven is thank you. But the fact that I will get to spend eternity with my Savior, man, there's the reward. There's the reward. I don't know about you, but I look forward to it. I look forward to it. Sometimes guys will come up to work and be like, oh, well, it could be worse. You could be dead. I'm like, I don't really know. That's such a bad thing. They're like, why? I'm like, oh, well, let me tell you. Let me tell you about it. I may have told this story before, but I really think it's funny. So we're sitting here on new construction ship, and we're going underway on it, and we're going to do some initial testing, which requires us to actually dive it. I watched this thing put together. I've never been more scared in my life. Some of these guys were cross-eyed trying to weld. I'm like, ooh. You want me to do what? Oh, okay. But then a peace came about me. We're sitting down there at test depth, the depth which I can't be named. We can't be named. It's classified. And we're sitting there and they go, hey, Sefirati, we need you to open that hatch. I'm like, you want me to what? You want me to do what? We got to test the seal in the upper escape trunk hatch. I'm like, good luck. But I had a peace about me. I'm like, man, if I'm going to go, I'm going to see my Savior when it's over. Amen. Yeah, I'll go do it. Why not? Open it up. I'm like, nope. I'm not dead. You guys sit there for 30 minutes like, oh, come on, 30 minutes. But see, there's a peace about it. I'm not afraid to walk around and talk about my Savior because there's a peace to it. Why should I be afraid? Even if somebody, a radical whatever, wants to slay me because of my faith, I know where I'm going to end up. Why are we as Christians so afraid today to speak about God? Why? What is there to be afraid of? Do I really care what somebody has to say about me? It doesn't matter. They're just words. Why be afraid? But that one bold statement could turn one soul to Christ, and that is more than enough to make it worth all the persecution. Amen. Amen. More than enough. You know why? I happened to find this quote very similarly when I was kind of looking for some funny ones to go along with this. Abraham Lincoln, right? One of our greatest presidents we've had. An innovator. Man of God, mind you. Said, intoxicated, speaking of America, this is back in his time, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. There's truth behind that statement. There's truth behind that statement individually, not just as a nation. Amen. I've been very successful at what I do. I was talking to Brother Billy and a couple other people. I've been humbled this week. So much to the point to where I had to look at one of my lieutenants, who's the only guy above me on my crew, and say, what am I doing wrong? I'll tell you, the first thing I did do is I didn't pray about it. Because if I'm thinking that my God can't handle my work situation, then I've got my priorities messed up. I'll tell you that right now. Maybe your race is to find Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe that's your race. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, your race has just started. It has just started. They just shot off the gun at your half marathon or your full marathon. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What's your race? Service in the church? Maybe somebody here is going to be a pastor one day. Missionaries? My Sunday school workers are running a race. If you ever had to deal with my children, that's definitely an endurance race. Service at some point. Maybe getting closer to God. Maybe that's your race. Maybe it's just handing out tracts. Maybe handing out 1,000 tracts a day. That's your race. You've got to pray. It takes planning, preparation, endurance. And finally, you'll see your reward. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's not going to be this little dinky metal that's going to rot away. It's going to be the face of your Savior.
Amen.
Glorious wonder. This message hit me. It was hard. Because I realized that I'm going to stand before you and lay myself out as, hey, I'm doing all this wrong. I've got a Bible that's perfect. It tells me exactly what I need to do. A man with an open pen, open Bible, and an open heart will find out very quickly what's wrong with him. What's your race? Do you spend so much time planning out your day that you don't even give your Savior 5 minutes? What's your race focused on? Let's pray.